Okay, is that better? Can you hear me? Maybe, maybe not. Any better than normal? Reese, can you hear me there? You're kind of putting your hand up there a little bit there. No, you can't hear me? Yeah, she can hear me. She's blushing, so I shouldn't keep on talking to her. So, okay, 1 Samuel 17, she was the only person that was kind of going like this, so I thought I'd ask her. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 here, story of David and Goliath is very familiar to us. I know that, but we're going to go ahead and read through a good portion of the scriptures tonight. And we got a question tonight. Do you need to slay a giant in your life? You say, Pastor, what do you mean by a giant? And I am referring to the different obstacles in our lives. And many times these comes in the forms of sins. And we allow them to stay. We allow them to mock God. We allow them to grow strong. And we don't think we can conquer them. I'm talking about the different sins that we struggle with, such as the sin of maybe bitterness and or unforgiveness. Maybe the sin of pornography. Maybe the sin of... There's a long list of things we could put there. A sin of selfishness, a sin of pride, a sin of not being obedient. Many times we have allowed things to come up in our lives that are sins that we know that are wrong, and they are standing right in front of us, and they are stopping us from going to where God wants us to go and being what God wants us to be, and they are there like Goliath, and they're mocking God, saying, hey, you can't defeat me, and we are sitting there like the Israelites on the side of the hill, not going anywhere, ready to fight the battle, but just sitting still and being happy. Tonight the question is there a giant in your life that you need to slay? Is there something that you need to finally get rid of and have victory on? And I think in the story of David and Goliath here, there are some different things we can pull out of this passage of Scripture, and it can help us tonight. And let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're not going to read the entire chapter because of the length of it, but we are going to read a good portion of it to make sure we hit some key verses that we plan on going back to in a little while. Let's look here in verse number 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. So you have here, you have a mountain on one side, a mountain on the other side. You got the Philistines over here. You have the Israelites over here. And this is a key, and it's important for a strategy. Because you know that if you're going to go and try to fight the Philistines, the Israelites would be at a disadvantage as they're trying to rise up the mountain. It'd be much harder to destroy or kill their enemy by up in the mountain. And the same reason why the Israelites are up there. That's why they met in the valley. And that's the reason why they had their battles in the valley. Because when you were on the mountain up there, you were safe. And you see here in verse number 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, we all know who this is, named Goliath of Gath, who was 6 cubits a span. And then it begins the next few verses giving you all the different information. They're very good information there. It helps you understand how big he was and how strong he was. But skip down to verse number 8 and let's see what this giant was doing. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. In verse number 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They weren't just afraid. They were greatly afraid. They had no interest in taking on this battle. They were fearful of what would happen if they had to fight this battle. Go ahead and go down to verse number 16. It said, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. So for these 40 days, he had the Philistines sitting on this side of the mountain, and the Israelites sitting on this side of the mountain. And for 40 days, they just sat back and looked at each other. They were not accomplishing anything sitting on the mountain. They were there and they were ready, and they had talked about how they were set in array, ready for the battle, ready for the fight. But Goliath would come down, and he would defy the armies of Israel. He would mock Israel. He would mock Israel's God. And then they would sit there again. I want to help you understand, and hopefully this will go through and this will ring clear and true in your life. If you have a sin in your life, or you've had a giant that's standing in your way, you will not accomplish anything for God. You have to learn how to get rid of these things and slay the giants of your life to be able to accomplish what God wants you to do. Instead, many times we are sitting on the sidelines, watching and waiting, and just looking at the giants in our lives and just saying, what am I going to do with them? There's nothing I can do about it. It's gotten so big. It's gotten so strong. I cannot defeat this. Now we are transporting to a different spot. You had the battlefield. And here in verse number 17, you had the story of David. And you have this father giving him a job to do. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy brother an ephah of the parched corn and these 10 loaves. And run to the camp to thy brother and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brother fare and take their pledge. And Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. And Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. It means they were getting ready to fight. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. He wanted to see what was happening and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Now, I think David is hearing this for the first time. You see David's response here. I think David's thinking that these men should do something. He does not know what Goliath has been doing. He does not know Goliath has been doing this for 40 days. David's hearing this for the first time, and let's see how David responds. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Once again, I think he's interested in destroying this giant. He's not as interested, I believe, in the prize or the reward, but he's hearing these things for the first time. He's surprised. He doesn't believe that no one has gone up to try to capture or defeat him. And he says this phrase at the end, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He cares about God's reputation here. He cares about the army's reputation. He is thinking that surely someone will stand up and fight. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall be done to the man that killeth him. And we're introduced to one of David's brothers here. Now, once again, Eliab is a big, strong man. You say, where do you get that from? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel came to it, he saw Eliab. He had saw how big and how strong he was. And he says, surely this is God's anointed. This man is a physical specimen. If there was somebody who could take on this giant, it would be Eliab here. But look, continue on, see what Eliab says. He says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He's trying to just knock David down a couple notches. He says, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? And this next phrase I've underlined in my Bible, is there not a cause? It's important to understand there is a cause for our Christian lives. There is a cause to fighting these giants. And there's a cause to be able to live a clean Christian life. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he went for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. So for 40 days, none of the army men are willing to fight the Philistine. David comes, the shepherd boy, a cheese carrier for the most part, comes and he says, look, tell us the king of Israel, tell us the king of a nation. Look, don't be afraid. I'll go and fight. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art not but a youth and a man, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now that's a very descriptive verse of what the enemy, what David was able to do to this animal. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear.
And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. We see David's courage here, and David's confidence is found in God. Go, and Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And this is something the assembly needed to learn. They needed to know this was God's battle. The Israelites needed to learn this. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him that was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and let's get started in tonight's message. Lord, I ask that you speak to people's hearts tonight. Lord, I know that many times there's something that's in our path in our Christian life and our Christian growth. And Lord, I pray that we be honest with ourselves. We ask you for help, but we face these giants. We slay these giants. Lord, with your help, God, we can make a difference. Lord, please speak to our hearts tonight about understanding the calls. Lord, about having courage, and Lord, having our confidence in you. Lord, speak to people's hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first thing is, do you need to slay a giant in your life? The first thing is, I want you to see is David's calls. You go back to that famous verse where that little phrase is in there at the end of verse 29, after his brother's giving a hard time, he says, is there not a cause? Now, is there not a cause or a reason for us to have a clean life? Is there not a cause or a reason for us to be able to fight these giants and to get rid of these problems? Is there not something that we need to do? Is there not a purpose to it? And I got to tell you that there is. So many times we look at the giants and we say, oh, it's not that important. They're not bothering me that much. The Israelites looked at that giant. They were standing over here and they were looking down at that giant. And they were saying, okay, as long as he stays down there, it's not going to bother me. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he does. As long as he stays down there, it's not going to bother me. But the problem was, what were the Israelites doing at this time? Nothing. They were stuck. And I want you to see, first of all, the aggression of the enemy. In verse number 26, it talks about the reproach that the uncircumcised Philistine, David's talking about how Goliath was being aggressive. He was mocking his God. He was mocking his king. He was mocking his army. And the point is, we got to realize in the world that we live in, the devil is really good at what he does, and he is going to be aggressive. He is going to attack. He is not going to stop. We can't allow giants and things to be staying in our lives. We can't keep on harboring around with pet sins and keep on saying, okay, well, I don't really need to deal with this bitterness, or I don't really need to deal with my anger. I don't really need to deal with that bad entertainment or those bad friends. I don't really need to deal with my lack of service and my lack of obedience, because all I'm doing is sitting here. I'm not hurting anybody. The giant's down there. I know I'm not going anywhere. But don't forget, while we're sitting still, we have an enemy that is trying to attack us. We have an enemy that is trying to be aggressive. We have an enemy that is trying to destroy the world. And there are people that are dying and they are going to hell. And we are sitting on the sideline just looking at our enemy. And that enemy sitting there mocking God. I mean, the enemy's sitting there. It might be your anger. It might be a lack of loyalty or obedience. And it's sitting there. And I can only imagine sometimes how the devil laughs and how the demons laugh and they mock when we get tripped up by the same sin over and over and over. They give the enemies of God a chance to blaspheme us, because all we're doing is just sitting there and we see that giant and we just don't want to do anything about it. So first thing is the aggression of the enemy. And you think about it, it's no secret. I know we don't like to admit it. Some people don't like to even admit it. But there's no secret that this world is an enemy to biblical Christianity. I don't see how much more we can't see in the day and time we live in. You think about it, and you look at our Christians, look at our schools, not Christian schools, public schools. Can't teach the Bible there. You can't carry the Bible. But they have classes that teach you about Islam. They have classes that teach you about the history of homosexuality, and they have classes that teach you about trying to be, politically correct or accepting of sin and accepting of wickedness. But you know, you can't pray in Jesus' name out loud. You can't carry that. I mean, I know you're supposed to be allowed to carry your Bible and read your Bible, but students have been told to put them away. You can't do that anymore. You know why? It's because the enemy's aggressive. The enemy hates the Word of God. They do everything they can. You get in trouble if you mock a different race or a different culture. And don't get me wrong, you shouldn't be mocking those things. But Christians are open to whatever jokes they want to say. They want to make fun as much of the Bible as they can, and people laugh at it. You know what? The world hates biblical Christianity. And the enemy is going to be aggressive about it. We need to understand we do have a cause. Is there not a cause? We do have a purpose and a reason to live a Christian life that needs to fight these giants, because of the fact that we're sitting there, and yes, we are on God's side. Yes, we have our armor sitting right there. We're sitting on the hill, but we're not going anywhere, because standing right in front of us is some type of giant that we are refusing to have courage and confidence in God to go up and to slay. First thing I want you to see is that the aggressive enemy. The second thing is the apathy of God's people. The apathy of God's people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should change the world, because the Bible says that the world hates you. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world will always be an enemy to biblical Christianity, but it's our job to try to save as many people as we can. And David here in this army, in this battle, he was trying to do what he could. The apathy of God's people is next. The army of Israel was afraid of Goliath. They weren't willing to face him. Even though they had the true and living God on their side, their faith was too weak. They preferred a stalemate with an enemy who mocked and ridiculed them and their God than to risk a fight. They weren't going anywhere because of this giant. They just were afraid to take on the battle that God had told them. How many times has God spoken to your heart about something? I mean, about the exact same thing. How many times have God said, I want you to work on this. I want you to change this. We just sit there. We're happy and we're satisfied with just sitting there, being in a stalemate, just saying, okay, maybe I'm not going anywhere out. Maybe I'm not going anywhere, but I'm not losing any ground. And that's what the Israelites were happy with. But they weren't doing anything for God. David comes on the scene, he sees this, and the first time he hears the giant, what does he do? You got to do something. This cannot go on. This has to stop. We are stuck here. No one is accomplishing anything. We must do something. There is a cause. There's a reason that we must fight these giants. How about you tonight? What is standing in your way? What giant have we? Maybe it's a giant of greed, or the giant of laziness. Maybe it's the giant of unkind spirit or an unwise tongue. There is a cause to deal with that. It's not, there's a purpose and there's a plan in your life. Don't just allow that thing to stand there and mock your God, mock you and say, you can't do anything about it. You can't win this battle. Come on, you can do it. That's all it does. It sits right in front of us. Many times it overwhelms us. We're greatly feared by it. We don't like it. We would like to get rid of it. We like to have it out of the way. Just like all those Israelites would have liked for Goliath to just plain go away. That's not going to happen to the sins in our lives. They're not just going to go away. We have to be willing to fight this battle. And this was a cause. Second thing I want you to see is David's courage. David's courage. See, David's courage was found in God's presence. Look what it says in verse number 37. Actually, let's start in verse number 34. David is talking to Saul. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his head and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now, look what it says in verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And you know what? David has courage because of God was with him. He has tried to fight these battles before. Like if we were up there and we were a shepherd and we had 100 sheep and a bear came, we would be happy with the bear just taking one and trying to get away from the bear. No, not David. David says, you know what? I was there. I took my job seriously. God was with me. God helped me against the bear. God helped me against the lion. If you read in chapter 27, if you read chapter 17, David's dad comes to him and says, look, son, I want you to take these cheeses to your brother. So I want you to take this bread to your brothers. It says he got up early in the morning. He left the sheep that he had with a keeper, and then he did everything he was supposed to. He was living for God. He was doing what was right then. He had already defeated the battles of being discouraged. Chapter earlier, he was supposed to be king. But where was he now? He's sitting out in the battlefield. Most people think, well, if he's going to be king, he should be high and mighty and setting up somewhere. No, he's back there doing the job that no other brother wants to do. He's listening to his father. He's taking the cheese, taking the bread. He doesn't look to his father and says, Look, I'm going to be king. I don't want to take any cheese. I don't want to take any bread. He doesn't do that. He doesn't put it off and get up at 10, 11 o'clock, noon. Sometimes I hear these kids talking. They says, well, I got up at 12 o'clock today. I'm like, why? Because they have no purpose. David had a purpose for his life. He had a cause. There was a reason here. And David is fighting these battles, and he remembers that God was with him. He took on the lion. He took on the bear. Now he's ready to take on the giant. And there are some lions and there's some bears that we need to take care of in our lives so we can be ready to fight the giants of our lives. But we have just allowed little thing after little thing come to such increase and that we have these giants. And David had courage. David's courage was found in God's presence. You know, David's motives were questioned. You look at what it says in verse number 28, Eliab questions his motives. And I tell you, if you're going to go out there, you're going to make a commitment, maybe tell your wife or maybe tell you some friends or maybe just try to stop doing something that other people see you doing, they're going to question your motives. They're going to say, oh, why are you doing that? Oh, why are you saying that? Or why are you starting to serve here? Or why are you starting to clean here? Or why? You know what? If you try to serve God and if you try to take on some type of giant, there are going to be people who criticize you. Eliab here, big, strong Eliab, He should have been fighting the giant, but Eliab says, no, what are you doing here? I know the naughtiness of your heart. He says, I know thy pride. He says, who did you leave those few sheep with? Eliab here was criticizing David because Eliab was upset because he should have had the strength and the courage and the confidence in God to take on this giant. He couldn't do it because he couldn't do it. He didn't think anyone could do it. I tell you, when you go to take a stand up for God and you go to try to slay some giants in your own lives and your family's lives, you're going to have people going, bip, 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 bip. You just got to do what David did. He listened to him. He turned around and says, is there not a cause? There is giants out there that need to be faced. And just because nobody else is facing them, we need to learn how to face them because There is a cause. Not only was David's motives questioned, but David's maturity was questioned. Look what it says in verse 33. Saul said unto David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You know what? Young and old both face giants. Just because you say, "Well, I'm too young of a Christian," or "I'm too young of a person," young and old both face giants. Young people need to learn to face their giants of the life. If they don't learn to face them today, you know what? It gets a lot harder later on. I don't know about you, but if there's something I don't nip in the bud at the beginning, it gets worse and gets worse. It gets stronger and stronger and harder to break. Young people, you can see in the story, David here didn't use this as an excuse, didn't say, "Well, I can't do it because I'm too young or I'm too immature." No. God gave David this battle that grown men were supposed to fight. And young people, you can fight these battles. This is your time. This is your day. Don't just sit there and let the giant stay there and just sit there and get bigger and bigger, because it is going to be much harder to defeat down the road. Parents, if you have the opportunity to help your children defeat these giants by taking away things that need to be taken away or stopping certain things that need to be stopped, help them with fighting these giants. David's methods were also questioned. In verse 39, you see him trying to gird on the king's armor. But David says, "I can't use these. They're not proven. I can't use the things that do not work for me." You know, we need to stick to the proven methods. David had his slingshot. You know, Saul thought his armor was so good, why didn't Saul put on his armor and go out and fight the giant himself? Saul's like, here's the armor. This will help you. Saul, put it on yourself and you go fight the giant. Saul didn't want to. We need to make sure that we are working with the proven weapons. And what is the proven weapons? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. The Bible said about hiding God's Word in your heart, that you won't sin against Him. The Bible talked about how prayer can make a difference and a change. If we really want to fight these giants, we can't keep on going after them with squirt guns saying, "Here, I'm going to attack you because I'm going to try this method or this ideology." It cannot replace the Bible. It cannot replace the Word of God. It cannot replace putting God's Word in your heart and obeying the Word of God and living a sincere Christian life. David says, "Is there not a cause?" And David says he has courage because God has always been with him. He was willing to do what God had called him to do each step of the way. And David fights the bear, fights the lion. Now he's ready to fight Goliath. I think most of these guys are up on this hill, and probably Saul himself, they hadn't fought the bear and they hadn't fought the lion. So he's not ready to fight the giant. Today, many times we look at things and says, "There's no way I can start doing that." We come to telling people about Jesus Christ and we're like, "Man, that is so far reaching for me. There's no way I could do that." Or talk about tithing. "There's no way I could do that." Or talk about service. Or we talk about loving our wives or submitting to our husbands. Or we talk about praying and seeking God's face and fasting and reading the Bible and memorizing scriptures. And that seems so far and so distant because we haven't began fighting the smaller battles and taking step by step. You know what? We need to fight these giants. There's a cause and we should have courage. And last but not least, I want you to see David's confidence. And this is the cool part of the story. He has confidence because of God's power. You see in verses 45 and 46, you see he's concerned with God's glory. At the end of verse number 46, it says that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. He doesn't say, "I want everybody in this whole world to know that I beat the giant." He didn't say, "I want everybody else in the whole world to know my three older brothers, even the king of Israel, would not fight the giant. But I fought the giant. I fought the giant. I did this." He said, "No, the only thing I want is in the end that all the earth may know. That all the earth may know that there's a God." And then he goes and he says a step farther, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not." And I think he's speaking to all this Israelites and his own countrymen. He says, "Look, it's not the idea that it's the sword or the spear. It's not our physical abilities and our talents, but the battle was the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." He's teaching the Israelites, "Hey, look, stop trusting in your own strength. Stop looking at the Goliath and looking at your muscles and saying, 'I just can't do that. I can't win that battle. I can't win this strength. He's too big. He's too strong.'" David says, "Everyone will know by this fight that it's God's battle, not mine." And the giants that are in your life, You need to be concerned about God's glory, but you can be convinced that you have victory. You can have victory because of who God is, and you can be committed to the battle. Look what it says in verse 48. Goliath didn't have to come looking for David. He didn't play hide and go seek. He didn't try to attack him from behind. It says David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And this is what we need to do. Is we see the giant in our life, and there are some steps we need to take. We need to get some verses that teaches us about our sins and hide them into our heart and begin fighting against this battle. We need to take the battle to the giant. And that's what David does here. And we see him conquering the enemy in verses 50 and 51. It says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. I don't know about you, but that's an amazing story. Amen. So how do we apply it to our lives today? There are sometimes some battles in our lives. I know some of you might be super Christians and you don't have any sin that you're dealing with. You have nothing that you struggle with. But most of us, including me, there's things in our lives that we want to work on. There's things in our lives that we want to straighten up. There's things in our lives that are standing and they're looming right in front of us. And just as Goliath did, they are mocking God. They're looking at you and saying, you can't even have victory over this. You can't even stop worrying. You can't even stop looking at this. You can't even stop listening to this. You can't even stop being a friend with this person. You're unable to. That's what Goliath was doing. He was mocking. He was mocking the Israelites. He was mocking. He was defying God and defying the armies of the living God. And that's what our sin does. Sometimes it stands right in front of us and we cower away and say, they're right. I can't have any victory. I've struggled with this so long and so hard. There's no way that I can win. That's where we see David's cause. Is there not a cause? There is a purpose for having a clean life. There is a reason why we should not allow certain things in our homes and our families. There's a reason why we don't do certain things and we do certain things because there is a cause, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. And it is worth fighting the battles of these giants and taking on whatever it is that we have. We should gain our courage from believing and seeing God work in the past. I hope that you can go back in your life and you can see, you know what, God helped me over here. I needed to stop doing this. Maybe it was being faithful to church. I really struggled with being faithful to church. If you're here on a Wednesday night, more than likely you're pretty faithful to church. And God helped you with that. Maybe I was struggling really bad with treating my brother or sister right. You know what, God helped me with that. You should be able to look back over your life and see how God helped you with certain sins. The things that you used to do, you shouldn't be doing those anymore. You should have victories in your life. I used to maybe not sing in church, but now I sing. I used to not be able to give out a gospel tract, but now I can give out a gospel tract. I used to not memorize any scripture, but now I'm trying my best. I used to do this, but now, you know, we should see victory after victory. We should see how God helped us through every step of the way. And we can go back and say, I can face that giant because God helped me here. God helped me with this lion. God helped me with this bear. God helped me with this Eliab. And God helped me all along the way to help me prepare to fight that battle. You know, if you don't have any victories in your Christian life, it's not because God lacks the power. It's because we haven't been willing to. We're like these Israelites sitting on the hill. We got our sword. If we're lucky, we got a shield. And we're just looking at the giant. We have everything we need. We have God's power and God's presence to be able to take on that giant. We're just standing here. Giant's laughing at us. The giant's saying, you can't defeat me. He's mocking us. He says, come on. He even mocks David. But is there a giant in your life you need to slay? Is there something that you need to have the courage and the confidence in God and realize the importance of the cause and say, you know what? I'm not going to keep on struggling with this. With God's help, I'm going to get off the hillside and enter into the battle zone. But I'm not going to do it by myself. Because when I try to do it by myself, when I try to figure out a way, well, maybe if I stop doing it so long, it'll be okay. Or maybe if I start doing this and we start trying to figure out other ways besides God's presence and God's power to defeat the enemy, we just cower back to that hill. We got to realize that there will be people who will criticize. There will be people who will question us. But we got to say, with God's help, I can conquer this enemy. I can conquer this giant. Tonight, is there a giant that you need to slay in your life? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. I pray that God's spoken to your heart about